Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
We got a message in the other night, and we were doing a topic about, oh yeah, was the man the head of the household, because there was research by CSO and all that kind of carry on. And we received a message while talking about gender roles in relationships and how couples should share everything, including finances and financial decisions. I read out the message, and the man then decided to email us the full story. You may remember I talked about it briefly the other night with two callers who said that he should get out of that relationship, right? And there's no doubt about that if you listen to this email. But the problem is he has young kids. But I'll read out the email he sent to me. And he says, hi, thank you very much indeed for reading out my text. I thought I would explain myself in full detail. Please can you discuss controlling females on the air? All we hear about is controlling men. I'm married 17 years and have three children and feel trapped in a relationship for the sake of my children. My wife is a stay-at-home wife who uses every excuse not to get a job, even though the kids are older now and can walk home from school and look after themselves quite independently. I've been a provider since the day we met, and I'm proud of the fact that I have given my wife and my kids a good life, and they've never wanted for anything. I earn a very good wage, thankfully, and can afford all the bills, and money worries are not really an issue in our home. We've had a beautiful home, we've two cars, two holidays a year. I know you think this all sounds great, but it's not. And I have a secret that embarrasses me as a man. We have a single joint bank account and my wife controls all the finances. And to be honest, because I'm so busy in work, it kind of suits me most of the time. But the problem is, I have no money. I'll be honest, I'm so depressed because of this. I'm not allowed to make any financial decisions. I don't drink. I never go to a pub or out with my friends, as I'm quite a private person anyway. But on the odd occasion that I need to go somewhere with work or socially, I have to go cap in hand like a child and ask for money in the hope that I might get a 50, but usually it's just a 20 that's handed to me. Why would you need any more than that is what I'm usually told. If I need money for petrol, for a Leap card, I am questioned about it. Where the last 20 I was given went already, and why have I spent it already? I do have an ATM card, but can't use it, as she sees everything and used to question me about everything that I spent in town, or maybe a euro or so, or a few euro on lunch. So I just stopped using it, as it wasn't worth the arguments. It's got to the point now I feel guilty spending money, and I have my excuses ready all the time. I've confided in a friend recently and he's told me that I need to get away, but I can't leave the kids, as it would destroy their lives and destroy mine not having them around me anymore. I feel like a stranger in my own house. There is little or no intimacy in our relationship. My wife is very much focused on her needs, and I've never questioned any of her purchases ever. She has the best of everything and I never ever question it. But every time I need to spend money, she questions it. Every time I ask for money, I feel like a beggar, and I'm usually handed 20 pound or 20 euro and just pawned off. I'm wondering, am I the only one in this situation, and can you get advice for me? Now, that's a shocking situation, because it's kind of control, isn't it? The wife sounds like a complete and utter narcissist. She sounds like a very controlling woman. There's no doubt about that. She seems to have everything her own way, and the world seems to revolve around her and not him. He's the provider, yet he has no money. And I suppose the question I really want to ask you is if you have any advice from, or maybe you've been in that situation. And look, it's easy. I'm looking at the text coming in already. And yeah, the word whipped is coming in. Yeah, I see that. And that's fair enough, if you want to say that. But that's not going to help him, is it? It's not going to help him to slag him off, is what I'm saying. So I think he wants advice, because it's clear that he's afraid to leave the relationship, because he will lose his children. He will end up in a situation where he's living separately. He'll have to ask for access to children, all the courts, all that kind of carry on. And he will lose the family. And maybe he's concerned about the family unit. And you know what's disturbing? The person and the people who have sent in the word whipped with the other word before us. If I read that story out, and that was a woman saying that a man was financially controlling, you wouldn't dare send in that text. And one of those is sent in by a woman. You wouldn't dare send that in. You would feel sorry for her. Well, because it's a man, he's whipped. Is that it? Oh, right, okay. He should know better. Is that it? He should stand up for himself because he's a man and he should be macho and all that kind of carry on. I understand. I get you. But your advice is not very helpful, because he doesn't want to lose his family. And it does beg the question about whether you should have a joint bank account, whether you should always have separate accounts. I mean, years ago, the dumb thing when you got married is, and I don't see anything wrong with it, is having a joint bank account, because I believe when you marry somebody, you share everything and there should be no secrets. I know somebody, for example, who's married 20, 30 years and they have separate bank accounts and neither one knows what the other one has in their bank account. I don't believe that's a relationship. But then you have the other extreme where they do have a joint bank account, like this particular couple. She's controlling all the money and he has to go cap in hand every time he wants money. Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. Have you ever been in a situation where you feel you've been financially controlled? Let me go to Donald. Donald, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Donald?
How are you doing now? You're after saving me from that show.
I've saved you from what?
I was bored and I ended up watching Clear City. Oh, Lord, merciful God.
Oh,
I put a sick needle in my eyes and well, joking and they're close to the world's end. Remember the old blues years ago? They were better acting. And then, you man used to come around the big support and come here. Remember that?
Yeah, well, to be honest with you, A Little House on the Prairie is far better than Fair City, I would imagine.
Oh, Jesus Christ, that's outrageous. But anyhow, you're dead right in what you said. This man obviously loves his kids.
Donald, you're breaking up a little bit. Run up the stairs or into another room, sorry.
Yeah, I tell you, you're dead right. This man does love his kids.
Yeah, he
Hello?
Does. Yeah, he does.
He does, yeah. Yeah, he loves his kids, yeah. But the day is going to have to come now where he's going to have to just bite the bullet and he's going to have to take money out of the bank, go away for a drink for himself.
I tell you what, Donald, I'm going to have to get you back. I've got to get Helena to ring you back because the line for some reason is appalling and you're kind of breaking up badly. Okay, loads and loads of messages coming in. Liz, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Liz?
Hi, you know.
Liz, I mean, that's a pretty sad email, isn't it?
God, it's very soul-destroying, really, to be honest with you. Chances are that she's not going to leave anyway because he's the one who's making all the money. You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, the chances are she's not going to go anywhere. And, you know, more...
would she go anywhere? She has everything she needs.
Well, that's it. And more times than not, it's more the confrontation that he's probably more afraid of than the outcome of it, really. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, look, if you let someone away with something for so long, they tend to just run with it, you know? And, I mean, maybe if he has that conversation, man, and just a frank conversation, man, to be honest with you, I mean, he is a grown man. I mean, he should be entitled to go into his account when he needs money and to do what he needs to do.
But she does sound like a controlling woman.
Oh, she does, yeah. No, but listen, man, people are controlling if you allow them to be controlled. I mean, you can only be controlled if you allow yourself to be controlled as well. I mean, there has to be some self-responsibility now as well, now. He's a grown man, right? You know, like, I mean, like, he's a grown man. You know, she has to... Look, I mean, I have a friend, sorry, geez, and I think I told you this before. I mean, when she met a fella, he owned his own taxi company. Yeah, he had his own home, and he had his own technical for that.
Yeah.
He doesn't have any of them now. So they're getting the sniffing off. He has nothing. He doesn't know nothing now anymore. He's just like completely, and he's just allowing it. Like, it's so soul destroying to watch someone like that, you know?
Mm.
But I mean, he is a man. He has to stand up and take control.
But see, when I look at the text coming in, and the first thing that people were saying was, they used the word whipped, obviously the other word before it, but they used the word whipped, right? But if I read out that story and that was a woman saying that this was happening to her, yeah, it would be awful. Oh, God, love her. Oh, she should get out.
No,
yeah,
I mean,
people would be giving advice. They wouldn't be calling them names.
You see, he would have been one of these guys earlier on, like, that just wanted to please and give her everything. And now she's actually taking advantage of that. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He's absolutely taking advantage of that, of his good nature and what he's actually been doing. So, I mean, me personally, the conversation has to be had. You say this is the way it's going, and I can guarantee you won't change. Chances are 90%, I won't say she's going anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the one that's bringing in the money and providing for her, so what's she going to do if he goes? So, I mean, and you know what? She'll probably respect him now. She probably will respect him a lot more if he does really just stand up for himself. You know, I mean, look, at the end of the day, I know you said she is controlling and stuff like that. Person can only be controlled if you allow yourself to be controlled by himself.
I don't necessarily. I know what you're saying, Liz, right? And yes, you have to allow yourself to be controlled. But I think sometimes sets of circumstances can be different. And I think the worry in his mind is, if I try to rock the boat here, if I do anything wrong, or if I step out of line and don't accept the way I'm being treated, that'll be the end of this family, because that's what she wants. That's the end of this family.
That's not going to happen, because he's in and all the money. So, I mean, she wants to live off then. Our maintenance every week, mm-hmm. or every month. That's not going to be. I mean, he'd have a wage. But I mean, that's not going to happen now. Women like her don't. You know what I mean? They know where they're better, but they're taking advantage.
Well, let me just go back to Donald for a second. I have him back there. Sorry, Donald. I don't know what happened.
The story with my woman and me now. I have my own joint account. Geraldine has her own joint account. But we also have a joint account, and we both have our own account. I don't know what Geraldine has in her bank.
Do you?
Right, millions. And I don't have a million. But we have a joint account to pay our bills and all that. And that's fine. Geraldine has her own independence if she wants to go away and buy something.
But does she not know how much you have in your bank account and you don't know how much she has in hers?
Yeah, no, we don't. We don't care.
But that, I don't necessarily agree with that.
But why?
Because I don't believe there should be any secrets in a marriage.
But it's not a secret. I don't care what money she has. I'm not worried about the money she has. I don't care what money she has. We pay our bills, and when we want to go out, we go out. That's the problem. Like, I don't... She's not saying... The Geraldine says to me, oh, go on to dairy to find out what I have in the bank. I don't care what she has in the bank.
Well, Liz, I mean, when you were married, Liz, and I know you're not married.
No, listen, I also agree that, like, say, some kind of big life event is coming up, you know, or a big expenditure is coming out of the past, just to write a lot of bills or things like that. And I mean, we have to figure out what's in each other's accounts. I mean, absolutely, I don't think there should be out and held back, you know. But I definitely want my own accounts, I definitely want my own money, and I definitely don't want anyone knowing everything about me either.
So if you were married again, Liz, right, you're going to have your own bank account, and you don't believe...
And then a joint account. So
And a joint account that you would both put money into, you know, to pay the bills, etc.
Yeah,
but you don't believe that your partner needs to know what's in your account?
Needs to know every penny, you know, but I mean...
I'm not saying
I wouldn't allow him either, you know, I'm not saying I'd keep him... I mean, listen, if the conversation ever arose that, like, you know, there was a big expense going out of the house, like a huge expense, you know, and we need to know what was in each of the accounts, fine. I mean, Uncle Dan, I don't know why he was running around page of hat and watching your... How much money have you got?
Let me ask you something. Okay, so if you moved in with your woman or whatever and she had more money in the bank, do you think she should pay her more stuff or something?
I don't get what you mean. I don't get what you mean.
What I'm saying is, just because you're in a relationship, you're still an independent person.
Well, you're not really, no.
And that shouldn't change.
As a person, you're independent, obviously, because love and marriage is about freedom, right?
But what I'm saying is,
your finances are not yours, they're ours. Isn't that the way it works?
You open a joint account and you pay your bills.
Maybe that's your way of doing things.
And you put them together, and then like if one is coming short, then they're going to obviously say, "Well, geez," but you know, I don't know how you actually ask somebody how much have you got in your bank.
Well, okay. Somebody did text in, by the way, and said there seems to be more to the story considering they're not having an intimate relationship. Well, yeah, in the email he did say there isn't that much intimacy. It seems to be a marriage. I'm not going to say of convenience, but maybe they're more like flatmates, so to speak. Some of the messages, by the way, coming in on WhatsApp as well in relation to it.
Niall, I just listened to your article there about that guy and his wages. Realistically speaking, he needs to grow a pair and stand up for himself. Yes, he is being bullied. But the only way to stand up to a bully, or to get back at a bully, is to stand up to them and say, yes, this is my money and this will be your money. And there's no other way around it.
I'm glad he pulled in while he had them read out the message, because you could hear his indicator going or his hazard lights going. But I get the point you're making, and everybody is kind of saying that he needs to grow a pair. But hang on, all of you. If we were all reverse this, you wouldn't be saying this. You wouldn't turn around to a woman who has been coercively controlled or financially controlled and say she needs to grow a pair. You'd be feeling sorry for her.
I'd be saying.
What?
Counts me and told me she was in that situation. Head out, I believe, nasty, that gone. Really? Of course, I would absolutely tell her. I mean, these are grown teeth. You know, we're all grown. We're all. If you let things like that to happen to you, you do tend to happen. I mean, I have a friend of mine, she's an awful victim. I've never heard the most shite from that woman pissing out in my life.
I mean, I'm looking at some of the messages coming in. Somebody says, it's soul-destroying for him. He needs to seek professional advice separately and also marital advice. My son was in a relationship with a narcissist, and it does drag the man down, and depression can set in. Over time, he got the right advice. He would eventually be able to speak up for himself. Okay, maybe professional advice. Let me go to Stephen. Stephen, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Stephen?
How are you, Noel? Crack.
Good. Stephen, I mean, it's a sad letter.
It absolutely is. It really is. Like, myself and my wife, we tried the joint account thing years and years ago when we first started living together. And it didn't work for us to start off with. Now we just sort of...
And why didn't it work? I'm just curious. Why didn't it work?
It just didn't work because we lost track of everything.
Right.
To be honest with you. So what we did instead is we now divide and conquer. So I'm in charge of... Like, mortgage comes out of my account. The weekly shop comes out of mine. For her to be like the electricity bill, the gas bill, the telly, and internet, all that kind of stuff. It's just divide and conquer. And then we've got sort of allowed ourselves an allowance for ourselves with the remainder, with some for savings. So we actually have a budget. We stick
to but do you know how much your wife has in her bank account? No, I don't mean to the penny. Like,
oh, no, I do.
Okay,
I do,
and yeah, she knows how much is in yours.
Yeah, because we're a team.
Well, Donald says they don't need to know.
That's Donald's opinion. Everyone's entitled to their own opinion. But what worked for him didn't work for me. This is working for myself, my wife, and we're very happy. Now,
In fairness, both of you are working. This letter is a slightly different situation where he's the only one bringing in money here.
This is where it changes for me. Now, and it doesn't matter if the sex of the person not working, whatever it is. The person who's not working should be allowed to budget, but it's sort of be a case of, well, here's the money for that, here's the money for that, here's the money for that. And the fact that it's a joint account means this woman seems to have control and is holding it over the husband, especially if there's kids involved. I've seen from friends who've been in a similar situation with an overbearing partner, whereas, oh, well, I'm at home all day looking after the kids, I'm shattered and I should have this, that and the other. And it's awful. But the fact that he has no control, everyone says grow a pair, it's not the right phrase to use, if I'm honest with you. If he's making the money and he wants a paradigm shift, so to speak, he needs to put a bit of work in, change the bank account into his name and say, right, take control of the situation himself, but give her the money to sort of look after the family.
But that goes back to the old days, like when your dad used to come home, you know, every 2 weeks when they got paid or every month when they got paid and give your mom the money for the messages. You know, I mean, and that wasn't the right answer either, because that was then the opposite way. You're controlling, you're kind of almost plumassing some poor woman by giving her a few quid when she needs it. You know, so I don't think that works either. There has to be equilibrium.
Well, I don't really think there's a happy medium here. Like, there's going to be a case, because it sounds like the relationship is getting really a bit toxic, if I'm honest with you.
Well, this wife sounds like a complete and utter control freak.
Well.
And a narcissist, by the sounds of it.
We can say that, aren't we? We're only hearing one side of the story as well.
Well, I mean, the very fact that he says that he has to go to her like a child and ask for money, I might get a 50. This is if he's going out for a social occasion. I might get a 50, but usually I'm handed a 20. And if he spends it too quickly, or if he spends his 20, mentions earlier on, she'll just ask him if he asks for another 20, maybe during the week, for petrol or his Leap card. She'll turn around to him and say, where's the last 20 I gave you?
Yeah. Now I'm going to be honest with you. Now, I used to work in a debt collection agency. I'm one of them people.
Right, okay.
Who was phoning people saying you have to pay this bill or else, unfortunately. That was the job I was in when everything, the downturn happened and all that kind of stuff, and that's the job I got to keep a roof over my head.
Yeah, well, somebody has to
do it. And I would hear these stories fairly frequently about husbands and wives or girlfriends and boyfriends who were hiding a substantial debt from other people.
Mm-hmm.
Don't send a letter to my house because I don't want my husband knowing about this. That could be what's happening here. We don't know. We're hearing one side of the story. This could be panic stations kicking in. It could be very similar to the previous story you're talking about, Jermaine, at the Christmas party. And it could just be very aggressive and shouting, well, it's all in your mind. Why are you doing this? It's just sort of...
Well, in fairness, we're making a lot of assumptions here. I'm taking it verbatim from what he's saying, because that's all I can do. Because he did text in the other night when we were talking about gender roles and relationships. And that's why that kind of... I spotted the email afterwards. But, I mean, he says here, you know, that it's a secret and he embarrasses him. And probably, you know, it does, and emasculates him. And also he says, you know, about having to go to her. And that, to me, just sounds upsetting. And the very fact that he said, you know, that obviously, I think from my point of view, I can see from this, he would leave her in a heartbeat, but he wants to keep the family together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Money's awful. It is. I hate it. I have hated money for years. Because the world revolves around money, and as soon as money gets involved in a relationship, that's it.
Mm.
It's gone. And I've seen it happen too often. And I think ultimately, if he doesn't want to go with the paradigm shift to take control, take the reins and all that kind of stuff, the only other option that he has is what that fella in the WhatsApp message said, or what you were saying there before, is counselling. Talk more about it. If it's the shove he needs to get his life back on track, then fair play to him.
Okay, well, just before I go to the break, I want to go to Mary as well. Mary, you're in Classic. It's Aidan, Mary.
Hi, Niall.
Hi, Mary, have you any advice for this guy? Because you, I think, were in a similar situation.
Unfortunately, yes. I can hear the empathy in that email or text or whatever correspondence you had with that person, but I know what it's like to have to prove every penny you have. So the relationship I was in was that he had money and I had nothing. And only for lying to the social welfare did I actually get money through my mother's guidance. And he didn't care as long as he had the money. And if I had to ask for anything, like that poor man having to ask his wife.
So you had to make a fake claim for a benefit just to get a few quid?
I had to. I had no other choice. I was left one Christmas with a storage heater ESB bill, and it was €600. He put €300 up in the thing, and he didn't give a, excuse my language, he didn't give a fuck where I got that money.
Okay, well,
he didn't care.
That's the language in the day, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh, no, I get what you're saying. And when he came home, when he got paid, how often did he get paid? Monthly, weekly?
Every month, and it was down to, well, I pay for the intro, I pay for my car, I pay for this, I pay for that, I pay for whatever. But he didn't give a damn about what was needed for the house. Everything was down to...
So that was down to you to do that?
Yeah, cutting down the bill. Like, if we went shopping, it would be half. The bill would be half. So I'd pay up my half.
And even though you weren't earning any money?
No, exactly, exactly. And if I remember, I went to John Stores one day, and ladies' products, we call them, he would take them out and charge it to my side.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Oh, that's Jesus. That's bad.
Super petty.
What a man, huh? He should be well proud of himself.
Oh, horrendously, horrendously.
Oh, God.
And had no problem. Like, he could go drinking every weekend. But if I rocked up, it would be like, what are you doing here? You haven't got that entitlement. You haven't got that. You haven't got that wish. How dare you?
I mean, obviously from this man's point of view, I'm curious. How did it make you feel, Mary, you know, being in that relationship, which is financially...
You see, I suppose when you're... In hindsight, it's a fantastic tool, but not at the time. I assumed that this was normal. This was normality. This is when you're degraded and insulted, and every horrendous word said to you, you end up believing it. So I can empathise with anyone that went through this. To think and imagine that somebody would insult you and come back from work and say, is it my imagination or does the house like look like a bomb hit it? But I was at the time minding children just to put a roof over my side of the house. Not his side of the house, my side of the house. And he didn't care. He did not care.
I mean, and how long were you in that situation for?
We lived together for over 6 years and I lost the plot. I said, no, forget it no more. I couldn't do it no more. But at that stage...
I mean, it's dehumanising. I mean, you must have woke up every morning. It must be dehumanising, apart from anything else.
I was a shadow of my own self. My family did not know because I was shamed. I was physically, emotionally and embarrassed to even exist. And I would have the persona that everything was great in our world. It wasn't. It was absolutely horrendous.
Well, see, this is what this guy says in the letter. He says, I know this all sounds great, but I have a secret that embarrasses me as a man.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's kind of easy. It's easy to say stand up, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Like, it takes more courage to look for help than dig your head in the sand. I have learned. But no, it's horrendous. I can. When I heard it, I actually stopped. I'm here at a friend's house, and I actually stopped. And I knew. I felt that emotion. I know what that man is talking about. But I'm the opposite sex. It makes no difference whether it's a man or a woman. It makes no odds. But at the same time, to feel like a lesser person than anybody else and have to prove where everything went, and God forbid if you lost money. God forbid, Niall. God forbid. I can tell you this much. It's not...
Why, did you lose money at one point?
I lost money one stage. I was so in a state that I sent the rent with the tax of my car, and fair dues to the crowd in Cork. They rang me and said, you have put in way too much money into the thing,
right?
And I physically lost it, and only for the honest person that received that letter. I was
But you were terrified to go back and tell him that you'd
left. I couldn't tell him. I wouldn't. I'd forget about it. No way.
Why, what would he do? What would he do if you told him?
He wouldn't lay a finger on me because he'd never leave a bruise. But it would be the emotional. It would be the financial. It is just the verbal abuse. But when you're told something long enough, you will end up feeling. You will end up believing it, no matter what you do. No matter what they say, and you just sit there and you take it. And you get harder and harder and harder as a person.
And like this guy, were you kind of accepting that because you wanted to save the family and keep the family together?
Yes, my father left when we were young. And when I eventually got the courage to leave, my sister told me, go back. And I said, I'm not going back. Not that. I would rather be on my own. And she said, oh, it's history repeating itself. And that's what you were dealing with.
Well, do me a favour, stay there for a second because loads and loads of people are texting in. Please stay with me. Keep texting, WhatsApping, and the number is 087-188-0008. Loads of people are texting in. Somebody said that's a horrific situation that woman was in, but I can completely understand. As a man, I've also been in that situation with my ex-wife. And it does seem to be something that affects both men and women. Financial control. Let me know what you think. All right, keep texting, keep WhatsApping. I'm looking at some of the audio messages coming in, by the way.
Niall, he needs to get his own bank account, have a salary paid into it, and transfer money to her in the joint account and take control that way.
I would agree with you. But it might be hard for him to do in that situation without, you know, rocking the boat, so to speak, and that's maybe what he's afraid of doing.
Hi, Niall. You obviously misunderstood what I said. This lady is a bully. There's no two ways about it. And he needs to stand up to her. If he doesn't stand up to her, she will continue to walk all over him and bully him. And if it was a man bullying a woman or a woman bullying a man, I'd still feel the same way. It's a bully.
Okay, yeah, okay, I'd agree. Yeah, she clearly is a bully.
Set up a new bank account. Go to HR. Give them your new IBAN and IBIC number. And then his wages go into that new bank account. You don't need to, like... And then he can just divvy it through wire transfer. Pretty easy.
See, it all sounds easy to say that, and I would agree with everybody, you know, but as Mary pointed out before the break, it's not as easy as that because you don't... I'm assuming, Mary, that you believe that you don't want to rock the boat.
No. You end up telling him everything for the fear of the argument, for the fear who you were speaking to, who you were talking to, why you were at that little bit longer in the bathroom. If we went out, who were you talking to? What were you doing?
That sounds more than financial control. That's complete control.
Oh, it's complete, yes. Yes, it is. It is. It is. It was, thank God.
And when you were in that situation, did you realise, or is it only in hindsight looking back now, but did you realise I'm being controlled completely?
I was naive, very, very naive. I think it was the first person that I thought I truly loved. Mm-hmm. He truly
didn't love you. Not as love goes.
No, and it just got worse and worse and worse, and the snide, horrendous, bone-chilling insults that he did. It just rolled off his tongue like drinking a pint of water. It made no difference to him. His goal in the morning was to make my life as miserable as possible, and he did. And the only... a friend of mine used to call when he'd go to work, they'd call when he was gone. They'd go again at lunchtime, just before lunchtime, because they just didn't want to be in the house. No one was allowed to call to me. Nobody was allowed to call
to me. Oh my gosh.
No.
I'm so sorry you went through that, Mary. That's an awful relationship.
You don't have to apologise.
I'm not apologising, that it's my fault, but I'm just... But I'm sorry that it happened to you, because... That's an awful relationship. That's not a relationship.
No. And it was only, as I say, in hindsight, and you look back and you hear other people's stories, and then they regurgitate stories, and it brings you back to that quivering, shaking, horrendous mess of a person you were at one stage.
And would you ever ask him, if you were short, now I know you said you obviously fraudulently collected money from the social welfare, and I can completely understand why you did that in this circumstance, right? Not that I'm condoning it, by the way.
But I had no other choice.
You had no choice. No, and I understand that. But when you needed money, say you were short of a few quid for maybe kids for school or whatever, you know, did you ever go to him with cap in hand?
But it was, I would have done my level best to
avoid that.
I would try, I obviously got caught a couple of times and had to ask, but it was just, it was down to the pencils and the biros, cut everything in two, and he didn't care which side. He had done his part. Good luck.
So you would rather cut one of the kids' pencils in two and give them to the two kids rather than buying another pencil.
You had no other choice. You just lived frugally. You had no other choice. You had this persona that everything was good in the camp and it was not. That saying, street angel, house devil, is the only.
Oh yeah, I know what you mean. To people on the outside, everything looked great.
Happy. And then when I
isn't he brilliant?
It kills him.
Yeah.
I had that SSIA.
Oh yes, yeah.
And that drove him absolutely berserk altogether.
Because you had this money that he didn't have.
Yes.
I hope you spent it on yourself, Mary.
I bought a car.
Good for you, Mary. Yeah. Listen, Mary, thank you very much indeed. And I'm glad to hear that you're away from that situation now, thankfully.
Yes.
All right. Thanks, Mary. And maybe that's some good advice for that chap who sent in that email who was listening to us. Loads of people texting. My heart goes out to that man. The person says, no, I understand what that man is going through. I'm in exactly the same situation. I have a very controlling wife who doesn't let me spend any money.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.